This is Local Views of the News. First time in October, '09. It's time we talked about Afghanistan. The armed conflict there, the U.S. invasion of that country, has reached the stage where it's the daily constant in the news media. Troop movements, attacks and retaliations, bombings and body counts. It's the stage where the official rationale for making war is a moving target. That's also the stage where a tired and tattered peace movement tries to rally again for another tilt at the windmill of world petrocapitalism. The military wants a lot more troops, and the president, whom the peace movement eagerly embraced and helped elect, is said to be considering it. He'll have to go for it, of course. If he doesn't, he'll have to walk away, and clearly he lacks the power and or the will to do that. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said on Monday, "I don't think we have the option to leave." We've heard it said that the U.S. has stepped into exactly the same hopeless mess which the Soviet Union abandoned in '89 after 12 years of pointless, costly, and deadly military occupation. A decade before, the U.S. poured an estimated $5 billion into supporting the opposition to the Soviets, a force that reportedly was led by a Saudi named Osama bin Laden. But when the USSR packed up and left, the people who took hold of the government were called Taliban. Then comes 9/11/01, and the U.S. immediately names its former ally, Osama, as the culprit and sends troops into Afghanistan to get him. So bin Laden beats it into Pakistan, where he supposedly remains safe, even though the U.S. calls Pakistan its friend and ally in the global war on terror. So the U.S. rousts the Taliban, installs a puppet government in Kabul, and sends the troops and the mainstream news reporters off to Iraq to hunt down Saddam Hussein and his weapons of mass destruction. Along comes President O to make some cosmetic changes in the occupation of Iraq, and send the reporters back to Afghanistan, where he's jacking up the war machine just to make sure bin Laden doesn't come back. To put it another way, the U.S. invaded Iraq, where al-Qaeda never was, to stop terrorists. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan, where al-Qaeda used to be but ain't no more, also to stop terrorists. If anyone is really chasing the boogeyman bin Laden, they're not having much luck. The military approach is all about sending in an army of soldiers, guns blazing, to win territory, occupy the land and the buildings. But the enemy doesn't hold any territory. The enemy, if it really exists at all, is a small group of violent ideologues making occasional symbolic strikes. It has no army and no government, and it can't ever be defeated by a military force. The U.S. understands this. If there really is a guy named Osama bin Laden, he can live out his days and even train a few terrorists in relative security wherever the U.S. chases him, so long as he doesn't mess with the flow of oil. The U.S. occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan make more sense if you forget the conventional wisdom about satisfying our own country's thirst for gasoline. For corporate oil, selling gas to U.S. motorists is about as important as personal checking accounts are to banks. The Soviet Union already had all the oil it could pump when its armies occupied Afghanistan, but the oil-rich stands east of the Caspian Sea now are independent of Moscow. The real money isn't in shipping that oil to the U.S. It's in pumping it to exploding markets in India and China. People in the U.S. all could switch to an alternative energy source tomorrow, and it wouldn't slow down the recolonization of Southwest Asia. By sending armies to that region in the name of fighting terrorists, the U.S. appears to be pursuing a hopeless strategy, but it's not. Iraq is the prototype 21st century colonialism. We don't call it a U.S. colony, we don't control the borders, but we have a massive fortress in Baghdad, which we call an embassy, a puppet government, and permanent military fortresses scattered across the country, blanketing the region with electronic eyes and ears, and if necessary, remote control bombers to keep the neighbors in line. Soon Afghanistan will be the same. Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Pakistan can't be far behind. If all goes well, soon we'll be correcting our trade imbalance with the Chinese by selling them oil from the consolidated nation of Pipelinistan. Do you think that will create any good jobs in the U.S.? That's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stanner reminding you that this commentary doesn't necessarily pump any crude for KVMR, its management, staff, or contributors. Email mark@calokeek.com.